3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to the Shalana Folks Talk Show, where I share stories of women who have overcome opposition and evolved into amazing entrepreneurs and powerful leaders. As a former event planner of 10 years, I am now infusing events with my exciting energy as an MC and host. Motherhood also compelled me to build a home-based business. I am the founder and owner of HBCU Legacy Fashion, a kids boutique that builds awareness around HBCUs while giving back through scholarships. You can learn more at HBCULegacyFashion.com. Now that we're acquainted, let's get into the show. 3, 2, 1. Here we go! Brianna Lauren is a mother of two, author and filmmaker from Washington, D.C., residing in Greensboro, North Carolina. She started writing poems, plays, and stories as a child, and today, her healing stories are changing lives. Brianna's purpose is to create stories, characters, and content that positively impact the lives of others while changing the narrative one keystroke at a time. Help me welcome Brianna Lauren. Brianna, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you. I'd like to start off by asking, what did 8-year-old Brianna want to be when she grew up?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here. And 8-year-old me wanted to be a writer, actually, and an actress. So one out of two isn't bad.
You sound like 8-year-old me, because I definitely wanted to do acting like all my life. So, but I mean, you do some acting, right? Like you've written stuff.
Now that you said that is true. I was in my own short film and stuff, and I've been in things before, but I guess I'm just not like a professional actress yet. Like that's not like my full-time gig, but I'm hoping one day, I will be able to say that. But yeah, I have dabbled in acting. So yeah, you're right, actually.
Yes, you have. So you actually are, you know, you're actually pursuing and actually doing those things that you wanted to do at 8 years old. Because a lot of people, when they were like 8, they dreamed of doing something. And then I don't know if, you know, naysayers or reality, their reality or what other people thought, you know, was best for them kicked in and those dreams just kind of died. But it's great to see people like you and I, like actually still following those dreams. And so I want to talk about like your books and how you became an author and just like all of that good stuff. I have a couple of your books for my kids. And the first one I think that you wrote was the Bree's Brand New Baby Brother. And yes. I used to read it to my son all the time. I don't even know if I was pregnant with Rosario yet. I don't even know if I was yet, but I know for sure once I did become, when I bought it, I don't know if I was pregnant yet, but I know for sure once I did become pregnant with her, I was always reading it to him. And then when I was pregnant with Cairo, I was always reading it to Rosario because it kind of fit more. So let's start from there. Like, you know, you're an Aggie, you went to A&T, Aggie Pride, yes. We're in the same class. So let's start like from college and like what you were studying in college to becoming an author and publishing like your first book.
Okay. So when I attended North Carolina A&T, or should I say North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University, okay. I majored I received my bachelor's of science in sports science and business administration. So absolutely nothing to do with writing, but everything to do with like learning who I was and understanding who I was and seeing the beauty of being Black. And, you know, that really helped me on my journey of just really understanding who I am and finding my purpose and everything. So that definitely played a huge part in that, as well as the people that I met at A&T, just seeing them do the different things that they wanted to do and pursuing those things. Even, you know, I want to say fearlessly, but I think most people don't pursue things fearlessly. They pursue it while they're afraid and they get that courage and that confidence along the way. So, and when I was in college, I really wasn't doing as much writing as I was prior to that. You know, I did a lot of writing when I was younger, when I was little, when I was in middle school, high school, elementary school, and all that. And when I got to college, it just, like you said, like, you know, naysayers and things. Before I got to college, people were like, well, you know, you have to pick a major that's realistic. You have to go to school so and get a degree so you can graduate, make money, have a job, get a family or make a family or whatever, mm-hmm. and get a husband and everything. So those were like my goals. Like, okay, well, I have to be realistic while I'm here. Although I'm sure they did not expect me to pursue something in sports. But you know, and then after graduating from college, I was kind of like lost because I'm like, okay, now what am I supposed to do now? Like I've gotten a degree, I've graduated with $1 billion in student loan debt. Like, what am I supposed to do now? And I was really lost. And then I went to a point of just thinking back to the things that brought me joy throughout my life, right. Or things that I went to, or kind of like my default, which was writing. And so I decided to just kind of give that a try. And I mean, it felt like when you leave somewhere or you leave home and you go somewhere for like a long period of time. And then that feeling of when you come back home, that's how it felt when I got back to my writing.
Yeah.
And it just felt
so amazing. Right. Like you were supposed to be there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I just stuck with that. And then I saw one of my good friends from high school has started her publishing company because she was already an author. And when I tell you, she's a phenomenal writer, because even in high school, we had this writing class together, mm-hmm. and she wrote this poem that like blew me away. I was like, wow, I want to write like that when I grow up. And we're the same age, but she's a year older than me. But either way, she ended up becoming a published author. She had a children's book. And then she decided to start her own publishing company because she didn't really like the way it went when she published her book. Mm. And she wanted to give authors an alternative. So when I saw that, I was like, well, this is my chance. Like, let me write this book. And I wanted it to be based on myself and my brother. And Breeby is my nickname. That's what my mom calls me. And so that's how Breeby's brand new baby brother was born. And, you know, I wrote it and I sent it to her. I was like, will you look at this for me? Like, hoping that she would like it. She was like, I love this. We have to publish it. I was like, yay. And then in less than 30 days, I was a published author.
Wow. What year was that?
2016.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I wrote it in 2015. But I don't think I published it. I mean, I published it right away, but you can choose like your release date. So I didn't have it released until 2016, but I wrote it in 2015.
Okay.
The end of 2015.
So that there was a few years between graduating and becoming like a published author. So like in between that time, were you like working on your writings and like creating a collection, or what were you doing?
No, I was working. I was doing what I thought I was going to be doing like for the rest of my life. I was working in athletics, which went along with my degree. I was working for Auntie's athletics department. So mostly I was with football. So total with being in school and out of school, I worked there for probably about 10 or 11 years. And yeah, and I just knew that's what I was going to be.
Yeah. That's why you stayed in Greensboro, because you're from Houston. So, oh, wow. Okay.
And I just knew I was going to be working in athletics forever. And as much as I loved my job, I enjoyed the travel, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't pay me enough. I would have enjoyed that, being paid more. But, you know, the free clothes, shoes and all that stuff, and just the fun we had and the family that we were able to build, you know, I loved that, but I wasn't fulfilled. And that's when I started to just feel really lost, because people would come back for like homecoming and stuff. And they're like, you're still here? I'm like, yeah, but I work here. It's not like I'm just hanging out, you know?
Right.
And then, so it was some time between that. But I was not spending that time writing. I had lost sight of really all of that. I might have written here and there, but it was more like, just to get things out on paper. It wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm going to write a book or I'm a poet or anything like that. It was just like regular.
Okay. So then at what point were you like, I have to follow this dream? Like, I can't sit here and just let it continue to die.
When I found out I was pregnant with my son, who was born in 2016, but I found out in 2015, of course, that I was pregnant. And I was just like, man, like, how am I going to teach him to go after his dreams? How am I going to teach him how to walk in his purpose and, you know, be everything he was created to be if I'm not living that? And I wanted to be an example for him. I wanted to be like the best version of myself for my child. And yeah, so that's really, you know, what kind of really made me reevaluate everything and realize just how lost I was and how far I had gone from who I was, I guess.
Yeah. And so then you wrote Pretty Pretty Brown Girl, or is it Pretty Pretty Black Girl?
Yeah, Pretty Pretty Black Girl.
Sorry, I had that one because I bought that one for my daughter. And I think that one probably came out the year she was born, like 2018, maybe?
Yeah, it came out 2018. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the inspiration behind that book?
Well, prior to writing that, I was in a very like extremely deep depression. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling, okay? Like trying to just little things, you know, trying to get out of the bed to live my life, basically, like just taking care of myself. Like I was able to do, because at the time my son was a toddler. Well, technically, I guess he's still considered one, but he was younger then. And so I was able to like do things for him. But when it came to me, I just could not bring myself to do things. And I was also, I was pregnant with my daughter, Bella. And I was just like a mess. I didn't see like, I want to say like that light at the end of the tunnel. I just felt like it was going to be like that forever. And it was really scary because I didn't tell anybody what I was going through for a long time because I figured people would just be like, oh, it's just hormones or, oh, it's just because you're pregnant or whatever. But it was scary. And then I finally like told my husband because it got to a point where I was missing so much work. My paycheck after taxes and stuff was $26.
Wow.
Yeah. And at that point I had to tell him because I didn't tell him before. And I was just like, I wasn't making it to work. So my checks were smaller. And so anything that I was helping with, you know, or helping take care of bill wise, I would just put it on my credit card. So then I was building up right all this credit card debt and it was just, everything was just falling on me. You know, I just felt like this heavy weight and I didn't think that I could deal with it on my own. And I would write like these little things to myself, these little notes and stuff that just to encourage myself. And, you know, eventually I was able to go to therapy. I did say something. I told my husband, he didn't really know what to do, but he was like, you should probably like get help.
And
yeah. Right. So, but I mean, one thing he did make sure he did was he made sure every Sunday, no matter how I was feeling, if I didn't want to get out of the bed, it didn't matter. He made sure we went to church like every Sunday. And that definitely helped me. And in addition, my therapist helped me because, you know, she was like, it's not all in your head. You're not, and you're in the right place, but you're also in a safe place and we're going to heal together. Like, you don't have to be afraid. You're not alone. And this is not something that you have to go through alone. I am here, you know? And I was just like, you know, I bust out crying. I'm a softie. I was like, okay. She was like, I got you. And as a Black woman, and that's what I needed. Like, my OB was a Black woman. And so when I told her, like, hey, you know, I need help. But I don't feel like what I'm going through is normal. And, you know, I'm telling her what's going on and I'm boohooing and stuff because I was crying in the shower because I didn't want my husband or my son to hear me, you know, and I just felt like they deserved better. And I felt like my daughter, who I was pregnant with, deserved better. And but once I was out of that place and I looked at like the little notes that I was writing myself and it's like little love notes, I guess, encouraging things, I was like, wow. Like I didn't realize at the time how powerful that was. But, you know, just reading over them after I was out of that place made me cry all over again. And I put those in the book because I felt like those are things not only that I needed to hear as an adult, mm-hmm. but things I needed to hear, you know, growing up throughout my life, especially when I was in a lot of places where predominantly white spaces. So places where I, you know, was told I was, or people were surprised if I was articulate or if I spoke incorrect English or if I was smart, you know, they're just like surprised, or, you know, places where you're considered pretty for a Black girl and not just pretty, not just beautiful, not just for who you are, but for a Black girl, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I put all those things in there that I needed to hear throughout my life, as well as the things that I said to myself in that space. And so that book was written from a place of healing. And at first I was like, oh, I'm not going to publish this. Like, oh. And because someone told me, you know, when I read it to them, they were like, oh, well, maybe, you know, this was just for your healing and maybe it wasn't meant for a book. And then I was like, oh, maybe they're right. And then I was like, but also maybe they're wrong. So I'm going to ask Ashley. That's my publisher from my first book. Uh-huh. And she was like, no, girl, this needs to be a book. This is for somebody. This is not just for you. Right. So then she published it for me. I mean, through her company. So that's where that came from.
That's a really great story, like behind, I mean, obviously during the time, I'm sure it wasn't great, but the fact that it was like a part of your healing process and now it can help to heal like other people. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you didn't listen to that very limited belief mm-hmm. because, you know, like you said before, people can mean well,
yeah. but
their mindset can also be very limiting. And
definitely.
That's so good that you like went out and published it. So you're in a happier place and yeah. you have a new book. Tell me all about Edge Control.
So Edge Control for the Soul is a book of poetry. And that is actually like throughout my life. It's poetry that's been written throughout my life. So high school, college, now. And it just really takes, it combines the journey of self-discovery with like the natural hair journey. So all of the poems have something that relate to natural hair, like leave-in or hair loss or low manipulation, just shrinkage. They all have titles that relate to that. And then the body of the poem relates to that as well. So it's not just like random names for them, but it goes with it as well. And yeah, I just, it really is literally my journey of self-discovery in a book. And I just thought that was really cool to be able to put that together. And I did that, you know, during the pandemic. So yeah, it was really exciting putting that together and reading like my old poetry. Mm-hmm. Some of it, I was looking like, oh, I thought this was good. This is not good. Not good, but so I picked out the good stuff and put that in there. I was like, oh, this is raggedy, but
so because, it was all good.
it may have been for the level of writer I was at that time, but now I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. But some of it was surprisingly good. I was like, oh, I wrote that. I didn't make sure.
Yes. You know,
I'm over here snapping, reading my own stuff. But yeah, that's what that is about. And yeah, I really love it because it's, I think there's a poem in there for everyone, that every, especially Black women, every Black woman can relate to. There's one called Save Your Edges, and that just speaks to like not sacrificing yourself and your mental health and your well-being and just for, you know, for anybody really. And it says in there, it's not just, this does not apply to like just some man. This is for anyone, man, woman, it doesn't matter. Like, there are certain things you shouldn't sacrifice, especially for people who don't love you enough to not make you sacrifice those things in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because if someone genuinely loves you and cares about you and wants the best for you, they should not want you to sacrifice your mental health for them.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Save Your Edges. That was so creative. Oh my God. So where can these books be purchased?
They can be purchased on my website, which is briannalaren.com, briannalaren.com. And they're also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And recently I just saw that Edge Control for the Soul is available on walmart.com. I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
That's yeah. so cool. I love
and
I
self-published that one. So I was excited to see that on there. I was like, okay.
You self-published this last book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I always like for everyone to leave the audience with their favorite quote or like a motto that they live by.
Okay, so my favorite quote is by Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And I think that is, I live by that. Like literally, I always try to think about how something I do is going to make someone else feel and like the ripple effect. So there's certain things I don't say, you know, because you can't take things back. There's certain things I don't do to people, even when, you know, it has been done to me because I'm like, you never know, like, number one, what people are going through. And number two, the impact that your words or your actions will have on other people, right. You know, and a lot of times they may not remember what they did or said to provoke that, but they remember like what you did in that moment.
Yeah, that's, I agree 100%. Brianna, you are such a beautiful soul. I love that you use your writings to heal and to motivate and inspire. And thank you again so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. And I love all that you're doing and accomplishing, especially, you know, not to say like as a mom, but as a mom, because, right. You know, so many times... Definitely, you know, because so many times people make you feel like once you become a mom, like your life is over and you can't do things for yourself. It's only about your kids. And I definitely think that you are a prime example of the fact that that is not true.
Oh, I appreciate that because I try and it's exhausting. You know how it is. You have multiple, so it's a lot of work.
Definitely. It is. But it's worth it because they'll be looking up to you like, well, my mom did this, so I can do this. And my mom did that. And she was this, this, and that. That's a piece of cake for me because you've already paved the way for them.
That's exactly why I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm, me too.
All right. Well, I will be posting this soon and I'll make sure you know when it's posted and I'll like put your links and everything down below. So,
okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Yes. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. If you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, take a screenshot, tag Shalana Fultz on Instagram, and let me know what your favorite part was. And never forget, you're doing your best, and your best is good enough. I'll see you next week, same time, same place.